Welcome to the Agent Lead Source Podcast, where you learn everything about modern marketing strategies designed to attract clients, close more real estate transactions, and improve your business, along with quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Joseph Gonzalez and Jaime Resendez.
Joseph Gonzalez here, coming to you live from Singapore with Jaime Resendez out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In today's video, in today's podcast, we're talking about how to get free listings. We're going to go over several strategies. We're going to go over several methods for you to try and actually go out and do these, probably not tonight if you're in the United States, but tomorrow morning, but you can start practicing and looking up the information we're talking about so you can get listings. I guarantee, this is my guarantee to you, and if it doesn't work, I'll give you a refund. Hyman doesn't have to worry about sending the refund. You will get a listing within this month if you use any of these strategies or if you use a multitude of them. So Hyman, welcome. Tell me how you're doing, man. What's been going on with you?
It's been good. It's been good. Been busy as heck, but that is awesome. That is awesome. It's as we know here in the States and a lot of the markets, it's a seller's market. It's an incredible seller's market. So much so that you're looking at 5, 10, 20 plus offers, which is insane. So it's something that I know I haven't been in real estate that long to experience the ups and downs, but based off of some real estate agents that I've been speaking to, it's been like no other. And these agents are doing a lot of volume and have been doing a lot of volume in many different markets. So this is really the topic that we wanted to cover as most people are looking for listings. Although we are confident that the strategies that we're going to cover today will get you listings, by no way, shape, or form do we intend to make this a simple conversation. It's just going to be so easy. It's going to be incredibly easy that you're going to be able to get listings yesterday. So that's not what we're saying. So what we're going to share is very tactical strategies that you will be getting listings, but there is an element of work. There is no easy button. If Joseph and I could snap our fingers and get listings yesterday, then we wouldn't be here because we'd be retired and actually we'd be on our way with Elon to the Mars. We'd be done. Something that we want to make sure that we are clear and set the expectation. There is an element, a strong element of consistent action that needs to happen in order for you to build a consistent business that's going to get you listings. Is that a fair disclosure? Yeah. I don't want to oversell and undersell, but at the same time, I want to be a realist.
No. I think I would say this. It's not going to be easy, right? That's a statement. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be simple. So it's not going to be easy to get these listings, but it'll be simple if you follow the processes and you actually put in the work. So that's what Jaime is basically saying is, look, nothing that's worth having is easy to get, right? However, some of the strategies, some of the most lucrative strategies are simple. You just have to be able to implement them. So whenever we talk about work, I always use this analogy, and my dad used to use this to me. It's like, I want you to have a college degree, or I want you to be educated so you don't have to dig ditches. All the things that we're talking about, you're going to be educated on. You don't have to go dig ditches. So they're not going to be that hard, right? They're going to be simple to accomplish. So just keep that in mind as we go through these. As long as you implement them, you put in the work, you will get the listings. But you have to put in the work. It's not like you can just snap your fingers, as Jaime said, they're going to come to you. But if you open your computer, open your phone, put the work in, that's about all you really have to do. Make some phone calls, maybe, and you will get listings out of this.
Yeah. So breaking right up into, or starting right off on the first strategy, it revolves around content marketing. So what is content marketing? It's providing something of value that is not necessarily saying, hey, I'm a realtor, use me for your next real estate transaction. That is a commercial. We're not suggesting a commercial. We're suggesting something of value that you bring to the marketplace that a consumer may or may not know. So you're actually providing value. You're being that storyteller. We were talking about telling an effective story before we hopped on and providing that education piece. But beyond that, for homeowners, you're providing that trust because remember, you are dealing with the largest asset that most people ever own in their life. So if you start thinking about that way, how much trust would you need to have to trust somebody with a $400, $800, $2 million possession of yours? You need to have a bit of a trust. So what I share with my agents all the time, I'm interested in getting your perspective, Joseph, is as you're attracting buyers, as far as content marketing goes, the best thing that you can do is educate. Meaning, mm-hmm. if you're attracting buyers, you need to educate them because this may be their first time that they're buying a home. So they need to understand how the financing works. They need to understand what an option period is, what the buying process is like. So if you're attracting buyers, you're looking at educating. If you're attracting sellers, you need to be able to build that trust.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to just, again, just apples to, or not apples to apples, but just giving you the, how I approach it from buyers, you educate. If that's what you're trying to attract, if you're looking to attract sellers, you need to build that trust. What do you think about that? That's what I've been sharing for the longest time. I just want to get your input. I don't think we ever talked about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, buyers, you're always educating, right? They want to be able to it's still building trust at the end of the day, but it's educating them on the process of buying a house and understanding how to buy a house and what to look for. For a seller, you are doing, as you said, Jaime, you're looking at ways to build direct trust with them. And the way to build trust with a seller is to help them understand, one, setting expectations with them and understand how to sell their house faster, what they need to do to prepare their house to sell it faster and for more money, right? Especially in today's market. Let's be honest, as long as it can get into MLS in most market, it's probably going to sell. It may not sell for exactly what the seller wants, but it's probably going to sell, right? I mean, I saw one of my agents sent me a message that was, this is a bit off subject, but also on subject. A tree had fallen on a house. The house was in a desired location. The buyer of that house still went ahead and closed on the house after the tree fell on it. So you can't tell me that it's not a super hot seller's market. Like if a tree falls on a house and somebody still closes on it, that's a pretty big deal, right? So you want to look at content that you're creating. And when we're talking about content, it can be on Facebook, it can be on LinkedIn, it can be on YouTube, all these platforms, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, later. But you want to talk about the problems that sellers might be facing and how to solve those problems. You don't have to say, I would do this, or, this is how I would do it, or as an agent, I would do this. You say, hey, as a seller, these are things that you should consider, right? And you're trying to educate them to understand that you know what you're talking about without saying I, because you don't want to make it an I show. You want to make it a them show and then allow them to start understanding who you are and then want to reach out to you, right?
No, 100%. So putting it into framing it as best as I can, we're talking about content marketing. We're talking about showing up, showing often, and showing consistently. So let's remove the platforms for a little bit. We can come back to it, but apply the concept to Instagram, apply the concept to Pinterest, apply the concept to YouTube, apply the concept to LinkedIn, to Facebook, anywhere. All the platforms are going to work. They just are. We know you and I have mutual connections that absolutely crush it on LinkedIn, and they never post on Facebook. You and I both have mutual connections that crush it on YouTube that never have to cold call or pick up the phone if they don't want to a day in their life.
Right.
So each one of these platforms is going to work because at the end of these platforms, there's individuals, there's homeowners and people that are looking to buy. So this strategy applies anywhere. So I kind of wanted to hit a reset button there and really approach it from that standpoint. When it comes to the content, what you're doing, as we were talking about, yes, there's an element of education, but there's that element of trust. And the example that you gave very eloquently about the providing some valuable information for them, for the sellers, that's incredibly important because if you really think about who you're speaking to, well, they're homeowners. If you're trying to get listings, and I had this conversation just yesterday, where somebody was so frustrated that they had buyers coming out of their ears, literal quote. Well, when I looked at their YouTube channel, their last 10 videos were about how to get qualified with zero money down, how to get the qualified on the FHA, how does a VA program work? And while all of those are fantastic videos to make, fantastic education pieces, what are you doing to speak to the client that you're trying to manifest itself right in front of you? You're not talking to the pain point of, should I sell my house now or wait? Should I sell or rent this home before I go into my next home? What do I need to do as a homeowner? There's a lot of financial and home ownership education that is missing out in the space. That's a huge opportunity. You and I had this conversation. We were talking about YouTube channels a couple of months ago. So really take into consideration the content that you're making. If you're trying to attract listings, don't make videos that have to do with buyers. So yeah, don't make that type of video. Attract the people, speak to the people that you're speaking, speak to the people that you want to work with effectively is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. You know, I like that you brought up an actual example of, you know, somebody is trying to work with sellers, but they're creating content around buyers. I mean, it just makes sense. Like why, like, that's like me saying, you know what, I want to work with only plumbers and help them get plumbing jobs, but I'm going to talk about roofers and roofs all day. Like plumbers aren't going to go onto the roof and mess with shingles. That's not what you're trying to do, right? So let's go into, Jaime, a little bit of actual content that agents can actually utilize right now and go out and build content around. So my wife and I, we have a rental property out in Austin, Texas, right? And so our renters are getting ready to buy a house. I wish I was the real estate agent on that deal, but you know, whatever. But they're getting ready to buy a house. So they're moving out and then we're going to get another set of renters. We thought about selling the house, but we don't need to sell it. We'd rather have renters at this point in time. I know it sounds weird because we can get a lot of cash out of it, but anyway, point being, my wife and I were sitting there talking about it. And one of the people who was getting ready to, or who's applied for our home, they also owned a home, but they had some debt. And so this is a form of content that you as a real estate agent can actually utilize right now to get a listing. And so as we're sitting there, we're like, well, that makes a lot of sense. If you are a homeowner and you're carrying all this debt, which there's a lot of homeowners that are carrying a lot of debt, you can cash out for $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 over what you would normally probably sell that house for in a normal market. Let's call it 6-7 months ago, right? So if you have $30,000, $40,000 worth of debt, wouldn't it be a smart idea to sell the house? And again, everybody's situation is different. So I don't want to, you know, coach everybody on their own life financial plans, but talk about as content, hey, if you're in debt, but you own a house and you want to know how much you can cash out for so you can clear your debt and then rent for a while before you can buy your next house because you know you can buy a house. This is probably a good time to do that. One of the very few times in a market that's like it is right now, where you can sell your house for over 25, 30, some markets, 50% over what you normally would and take that money and pay off your debt. And so we were talking about that. And I was like, that whoever this person is that applied for our for renting our home, that's an extremely smart strategy because now you just put yourself probably several years ahead financially by clearing out one, you don't have the mortgage to worry about. Two, whatever debt you had before, you just paid it all off if you're doing it for that purpose. And now all the percentages that you would normally have to pay on all your credit cards and whatever student debt you had, it's gone. And so now you're actually making money through the process. So, you know, as a real estate agent, that's something that I would probably create content around because that's a huge problem in America. That's a huge problem across the entire world is debt, right? And the majority of people that have some type of debt, if they're homeowners, have an opportunity to actually clear that debt and get into a rental property, whatever they're going to do to start preparing for their financial future and making it a better one. And by the way, if this makes sense or you have questions about it, comment below because I know I just went into a lot of detail about it. But just let me know if you like that idea or if you have questions about that idea, those of you who are watching right now.
No, and that makes a lot of sense as far as the content, the education, what are we communicating? Because that's one of the biggest questions that comes across. You talk about content marketing. What does that mean? How's that going to help me get in front of a camera and what do I need to communicate? So that's a great strategy we're talking about building that trust through education in this particular instance. And that's actually a genius idea is what Dusty's sharing with you. So kudos to you. There it is. There it is.
Thank you, Dusty.
There you go. So, and she would know. She also commented and got a new buyer lead that same day for a higher price point. So that
Dusty's
was
something. Crushing it on YouTube.
Content. She's absolutely, I love it. I love it. She's going to make that video, but boom, we got some action takers. She's really a rock star. She's been awesome.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want us to talk about you like that on our podcast, all you have to do is follow our strategies, and we'll talk nicely about you, because you're going to close deals and you're going to comment and say things like, "Oh, hey, I used your strategy and I was able to do XYZ." Be like, "Hey, you know what? You should probably use Dusty out of wherever Dusty's from. She's a rock star as a real estate agent." For those people who come watch our podcast and come listen to our podcast. Anyway, I digress. Time.
She's Arizona, if I remember correctly. Prove me right, Dusty. I have too many things going on, so I think that's right. So offer the tenant a home buyer rebate program. This way they will want to rent from you and will buy from you. Win-win is what David Knight, I believe he's in Florida, commented on YouTube. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, well, you can also offer, I don't know if David's talking about offering the whenever he says tenant, I'm thinking he's saying probably the homeowner is now becoming the leasing tenant, which means that they get to stay on their house for 6 months, basically lease back. Is that what he's saying? Yeah, no, I think that's a great strategy for those that are worried about where am I going to move to next, right? Because that's the biggest question probably in this market is, I sell my house for $150,000 above, you know, what it normally is, but now I got to go buy a house that's above $150,000, right? If you're a smart homeowner and it's just two people, you should be downsizing. That's just, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just saying how it should be. I know we all want bigger and better all the time, but I'd rather have a bigger, better bank account than a bigger, better house. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as, you know, going in a little bit, well, I guess, does that make sense? Because before we go on, I want to make sure that we give this enough play. So I'll give a quick plug in before we continue going. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcast, a 5-star review is highly recommended, almost mandatory, some would say, and it's going to really help out the algorithm. Is going to really help us put in, I think, where was it? Was it Malaysia or was it Dubai that we were ranking in the top podcasts? So
yeah, I don't remember where.
I think Malaysia. I want to say it's Malaysia. To all our Malaysia fans out there, we see you. We appreciate you. Thank you. Really do. We really do value that top ranking. Even though it was for a week, we'll still take it. We really do appreciate always. It. All right. So Dusty, cough, cough, Scottsdale. There it is. Amazing agent out of Scottsdale. As far as listings, so again, we're talking about getting listing leads. I want to get a little bit granular in terms of doing some data mining. I'm going to refrain from using company names because we made an agreement specifically in this podcast that we weren't going to shout out companies that weren't going to sponsor us. So
fair enough.
Forget the data companies right now. Just stick with me on the strategy. So the best way that you can make your marketing money go further and your time go further, we're talking about free listings, is to peek behind the veil and see who's actually has some equity in their home. Because as you know, what they bought it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that's an incredible amount of equity. It doesn't matter how much money you put down. 5% down quickly became 25% down in this market.
Yeah.
So looking at those data providers, again, I'm not going to go and mention them by name, but they're in every single market, and identifying those homes that have some equity on there. And that conversation is going to go a lot quicker because a lot of people, when they purchase, they typically get out of that real estate mode. They don't know anything about lumber prices. So I see all these memes about lumber prices.
Yeah.
The normies don't know anything about that. Normies are people without licenses. Like, why would they? So it's just I get just a meme for us to laugh at, I guess. But when you're looking at property owners, you have that information in front of you. You can get that from title companies. Oftentimes, they'll give that type of information for you. And then you can strategically reach out to them. You can do direct mail. You can do cold calling. You could do door knocking in certain markets. My small claim to fame was using a well-known data source. I'm not going to mention them by name because, again, I'm going to honor what we talked about. But using a well-known data source that I sent a direct mail piece to about 60 properties or so. It was handwritten, mm-hmm. and I got 5 deals from that. So it was very targeted because I knew what I was looking on for on the back end. So it's that type of data mining. It's that type of precision that you can get to today. You no longer have to buy that $20,000 billboard, $10,000 billboard on I-35. You no longer need to buy a commercial. You no longer need to get a radio spot. If you have the money, go at it. Cool. Awesome. Great. But a lot of us don't. So getting strategic with your marketing is the name of the game. People hear that and they get, that's so tedious. Okay. If you have the money, if you have that surplus capital, go ahead. But most of us don't. So what we're trying to do is give you strategic, practical things that you can implement today. And that's who we're speaking to with that particular strategy.
Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah. Whenever we talk about data mining, those of you who don't know, it's like going out, finding the data that's going to help you in your business. Right. And so you've got to be the person that's going out there and finding that data and then utilizing that data to your best ability. So Jaime, I want to dive a little bit deeper into this data mining idea. And so as we look at data mining, one thing that, so as you know, we have a seller program, right? Where we help real estate agents get listings and things like that, right? And so it's a lot of work on the back end. A lot of people are like, oh, pay you money, you got to do nothing. I'm like, you have no idea, right? So one thing that a real estate agent who's also going into wholesaling messaged me was like, hey, I would love for you to have your virtual assistants also do calls for wholesaling. And so that made me think as a real estate agent, a little bit outside the box, right? Every idea that comes in needs to be able to be manipulated in your mind to create new things as a marketer. And so as I was talking or thinking through that process and how we're going to be able to support him, I thought, why not as a real estate agent, those of you who like to think outside the box, use these data companies that Jaime is talking about to find vacant properties. And instead of calling them and saying, hey, you know, Joe Smith, I'd like to make an offer on your house, a cash offer on your house, say, hey, Joe Smith, I'm a real estate agent in whatever city. I took your property and I ran a market analysis on it, and it's currently worth XYZ. I also know that it's vacant right now. If you'd like to cash out and make an extra XYZ on the house, this is how much the house is currently worth. If you'd like me to also run a net sheet on this so you can see how much your walkaway is at this point, let me know as well. And so you change the conversation from, hey, I'm a cash buyer like everybody else is, to, hey, I know the exact value, roughly the exact value of your house, estimate on your house. This is what it's worth. This is what it was worth last year. Your rent, I'm guessing, was probably this. This is how much you make per year on rent. Would you rather cash out now, make that, don't even worry about tenants anymore, and get your house sold? I can list it, you know, in the next couple of days if you want me to, and have a photographer out there. So now you're taking the data that a wholesaler would normally use, you're using as a real estate agent, and then you go list that house. It's a vacant house, so you don't have to do much to it, right? And then run the game right there. That's what I would do. I'd look for these vacant properties because every market has vacant properties right now. And you just have to understand how to have that conversation with a homeowner, right? That is a landlord, if you will.
That's a huge opportunity right now. That is a huge opportunity right now. Those that are not emotionally attached to the property, on the contrary, it's like, it took me forever to get that previous one, the previous tenant to get out of there because of COVID. I'm done with this one, right? So yeah, it's something that is a huge opportunity, and that information exists. It's out there. So calling these homeowners that have, I'm not going to say excess properties, but have multiple properties, there you're talking one to many. There you're multiplying your efforts. So it's a huge strategy that is heavily underutilized right now. And it goes back to how we started the podcast. Well, we talked about the simple strategies. We're not talking about the easy strategies. These do require some work. These do require some skill sets needing to be sharpened in order of how to speak to the individuals that are homeowners. So yeah, there's some elbow grease here. And go ahead.
Or if you don't want to do it yourself, hire somebody to do it, right?
Or hire somebody to do it.
You buy the list, you create the list, and then you just send it to somebody and they just dial, quote unquote, dollar for dollars, right? Like it used to be back in the day. Investors are now your new listings.
Yeah. And just to go back to the more, quote unquote, traditional, well, think back to the expireds. You can be one of the 80th call. Yeah. In that morning that it gets expired, you can do that. that is effective. It's all day long. It happens, right? You can be that person. You can be the person that calls the FISBO. You can be that person that calls a FISBO and understand that they have the highest pickup rate across the industry because they're a FISBO. They're trying to sell their home. So they're going to pick up the phone. Unfortunately, you're going to be the 40th agent that calls them. However, if in the event that that home is still on the market 6 weeks from there, from the time that they went out to market, well, guess what? You're not going to be the 40th person. You're probably going to be the fifth person. So there it's attrition. So if you can provide value early on with FISBOs and stay engaged, stay in the pocket. If we're looking for an analogy, so stay in the pocket. If you're a quarterback, you can appreciate this because you weren't on the offense side. You were on the defense.
But I'll catch an interception in here in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, throw an interception to Joseph. but if you can stay in there, it's really going to manifest itself into a listing. So again, it's something that will take some time, but it does work.
So Jaime, you know, I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers with this. Uh-oh. And that's okay. That's okay.
About to lose advertisers.
So here's the thing. So I was, you know, in my, one of our mastermind groups, I send out techniques and stuff and we have conversations in there about things. And so I was chatting with an agent and he was telling me about an agent and he lives up northwest in the United States. And he was saying that one of the agents in his market who is a top selling agent, I want to preface this by saying he is a top selling agent, like $900,000 to $1 million a year, right? Type of agent. And he said he lists all his house for 1%. And your commission can be changed however you want. And he obviously upsets a lot of people in this market, right? Because he does that. And it's like, well, that's an unfair strategy. No, it's not an unfair strategy. He just doesn't need that same listing amount because he says in his contract, as long as you buy a house with me, I will list your house for 1%. So he's making 4%, if you will, on transactions, sure. Right? So he's making a lot of money. So again, this is going to ruffle a lot of agents' feathers that are like, I'm all 3% all the time, right? It's like, actually, no, that's illegal in some states. But anyway, so if we look at these expireds and we kind of think of this guy's strategy, again, this is not my strategy. This is something that somebody else does. I would, instead of doing what everybody else is doing, which is sitting on the phone and calling people, which is fine. It works. As Jaime said, it takes time. I would probably go to these expireds the day or the night before it goes expired, drop a letter off that says something to the effect of, hey, you're probably going to get about 80 phone calls tomorrow morning, or maybe you've already gotten the phone calls. They're all going to ask you to list your house. They're going to talk about the photos. They're going to talk about the time it takes and blah, blah, blah. They might have a buyer. They might not. Instead of listening to those people, if you want to sit down and have a real conversation, you can text me or call me. I'll come by or we can go have coffee. And I'm guessing the person you probably listed with, you guys may have listed the house too high. If that's the case, I would like to talk to you about how we can list it for lower. But you still make the same amount of money, right, that you're wanting to make. And then from there, you can talk about your percentage that you're going to do. And then you can talk about, hey, as long as you buy your next house with me, or if you're moving to another state, let me be the referral agent on that deal. Then I'll tell you about my commission and how we can make you actually still make the same amount of money that you wanted to make, but listing the house for less. Right. So that's a strategy that if it were me and I'm thinking outside the box and this agent has already proven this method, he's making, you know, $900,000 to $1 million a year selling real estate, I would definitely look into something like that. As long as you're not a stingy person and think you deserve 3% all the time, because not every market, especially right now, everybody doesn't deserve 3%. And again, I'm probably going to ruffle some feathers and I'm okay with that. If you want my address to come confront me about it, I won't give it to you, but I'll meet you in Singapore somewhere. But I'm kidding. I'm not a very confrontational human being. But seriously, I think this is a fantastic strategy to consider if you want to look at something like that. And again, somebody's already proven out the strategy, right?
I dig it. I'm just waiting for the thumbs down. I should have asked for the thumbs down before you started. So I'm interested. I'd like to see some comments. I want to hear some different points. So comment down below what you're thinking as you hear that. If you need to rehear it, just go back. I'll read a few comments that I see here, Joseph. What kind of deals, sellers? 8 minutes ago, Alina. Okay, so that was probably when I was talking about the data mining with my let me know if that's wrong. If that, I think that was the question in regards to whenever I was going through that example. It was sellers. It was sellers. That's who that's who I got when I sent out the 60 mailers and got five deals off of that. Joseph, listings. What's entailed in your seller program? This is Alina as well.
Alina, you can send me a message on Facebook. I really don't want to talk about that here on the podcast because that's not what it's about. The podcast is really about just giving the tips that we're talking about. But yeah, shoot me a message. I'll get you the information for sure.
Awesome. So I'm seeing if there's going to be some comments on that strategy. Makes sense. I saw a listing agent who does everything for 1% locally. Jordy.
Yeah, Jordy, I'd be interested in seeing what that agent, if they do everything and you're saying everything, I would be interested in see how many transactions they actually do. Because if you think about this, you're technically not making 1%. If they're going to buy a house with you, you're making 4%, right? And probably depending on, builders and what they're offering, and we're getting ready to go through summer right now. But, it could be upwards of 4% because technically you're double ending a deal. You're just not making the normal 6%. Quote unquote, normal 6%. You're making 4% and then plus some possibly depending on what the builder's offering. So, whenever you have all these agents that are, their feelings are hurt about these guys, if you see what these guys are driving and what they're doing, you're like, yeah, I get it. Like, I want to retire early too. So, whoever's getting mad is not paying my bills. And as long as it's by the rules and by the book and I'm following the rules as a real estate agent, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. That's my personal thoughts. My goal and my fiduciary duty is not to other real estate agents. It's to my actual sellers and to my actual buyers, right? So I'm going to do everything by them to make them feel good, to make them actually get the deal that they want to get out of the transaction.
Right. I hadn't considered them bridging into a buying transaction. There you go. Open some eyes. That was his follow-up.
Oh, yeah. I think that's most people, right? Most people think about it as, oh, man, I'm just going to get 1%. That's terrible. I deserve more money because, I'm a magnificent listing agent. And not saying that most agents aren't. Reality is that, you're looking at, yes, you're trying to capitalize and make money for you and your family, but you got to think about the best strategies for you and your family and also mainly the best strategies for your clients. And if you do that, the money will follow.
All right. So I was debating sharing this or not, because I don't know how ethical it was. I don't think it's not ethical. I didn't do this at scale, folks. So I'm just going to caveat with that. or do the caveat there. Mm-hmm. So there was times when, as I was doing some showings in a particular part of town up here north, for the people that are in DFW, they'll know what I'm talking about. McKinney, right around that area, Frisco, Plano, Allen. Well, there was times where the day would end a little bit shorter than I had expected. Either a home that we had scheduled for the day was either under contract, the buyers were kind of done, like, nah, we really don't want to see that one, what have you. So it would end a little bit earlier. So what I would do would be I would find the homes that had expired that day, because at that point they had already gotten all the calls in the morning, right?
Right, right.
And then I would physically go to their house and then I just knock on their door and ask, what was I saying that it would always open the door? Oh my gosh. Anyway, so whenever they would open the door, I was basically say something to the effect of, hey, I was just in the area showing some buyers. I saw that this property went off market. Was that by mistake? And then just wait for them to respond. I would have something a little bit more clever, but it's been years since I did that.
Yeah.
And of the times that I did that, which was right around, I'd say about, I didn't do this all that often. I'm not going to pretend that this was done at scale. 10 times or so. Mm-hmm. All 10 times I went in the home. It was wild. It was just wild. It was just be physically going there. And I don't know if I set I feel like I probably did. If I'm going to be honest, I feel like I probably said it in such a way that I made it believe that I actually had buyers that were looking to buy their home, which I didn't. I'm not going to lie to them, but
yeah, yeah.
I guess lying by omission. It's still a lie, I guess, but
it's, yeah, it's still a lie.
Again, it's just throwing it out there. It's not gonna matter to me at this point since I'm really out of production at this point. But it happened. I'm sharing it. I mean, you want the 10 p.m. I don't know what time it is. The 10 p.m. after dark. Yeah, that happened.
There it is. Well, I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, if it goes expired. And you're knocking on that door, the first question is, hey, are you still listening? Are you still planning on selling this house? And are you selling it with the agent that had it, right? So then you can make sure that you're following the rules, because as long as it's expired and it's out of contract, then you're not actually impending, if I'm not mistaken. And again, check your board rules, check your all that stuff. As long as you're not impending and talking to another agent's client, as long as they're no longer the client and whatever that window looks like, because if they haven't re-signed the contract and contract that has expired. And again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a real estate lawyer. I believe that is the rule, right? You can go in and have that conversation with them. And if they say they're not going to be working with that agent anymore, well, guess what? They're probably going to look at interviewing a couple more agents. And if you're the first one in the door and you have a good pitch, you probably have a really good chance, right? And so, yeah.
And they had it. That would be my opinion. They weren't under contract. I mean, there's a reason they get all these people calling.
Correct.
But it was just a good conversation. It was just, I just found it interesting, and it wasn't anything novel. It just, wasn't anything that dawned on me. It was just the first time that it happened. I legitimately had buyers lined up for that particular home. Then it went inactive or, temporarily withdrawn or whatever the MLS
thing says now. Withdrawn, expired, whatever. Yeah.
And then it came back on. So I legitimately was confused. So we went and did we probably had five homes to visit that day. And this one was kind of in between. So we circled back around. I was like, well, I don't know what's happening, but I can go and knock on the door for you. And I did.
And I mean, it's pretty cool. There's no difference between you physically being there and somebody else calling, or the 80 people that called that morning, right? Except you are physically there. And very seldom is an agent, because one, most agents are scared to even pick up the phone. Two, they're sure as heck, if they're scared to pick up the phone, they're sure as heck not going to drive over and go have a conversation with this human being, right? Because now they're thinking, oh, this human being's mad because their house didn't sell. But if you present a new strategy that's going to be very beneficial to them, then they can still make the same amount of money, and you're physically there presenting it to them, it's going to be a lot different than everybody else that called. And which will lead into another strategy about calling people and having a different conversation here in a minute. But yeah, I think that as long as everybody else is still calling them that day, you're physically showing up, there's nothing wrong with it. At least in my eyes, because it's no different than them doing it, except you're physically there.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think so. Well, we'll find out.
No, it was okay.
So do you want to lead into the next one, Joseph?
Yeah. So let's go ahead. And I've used this one before in a couple of our different podcasts, but you know, we're specifically talking about getting free listings. So, and this will be for those viewers who have not heard this before. So we know that a lot of we get the Red X expireds, and we get all of these, right? FSBOs and so forth, and so on. And the conversation is typically the same, as Jaime was stating earlier. It's usually, hey, I think I hear my son screaming in the background somewhere. Hey, I'm calling to see if I can come preview your house. I have some buyers that are interested, which is typically a lie, right? Most of the agents who call and say that is typically a lie. Those of you who are homeowners that are watching this. And so what you do is you call and say something different, like, hey, I'm calling because, one, I don't want to list your house as a traditional agent. I'm calling because I want to help you market your house and safely do it so that people who come into your house actually can afford your house, and they've proven that they can afford it through their pay stubs and actually applying with a loan officer. Would you be interested in that? And you can still technically list the house yourself. We're just going to help you, you know, filter through these buyers by having a loan officer qualify these buyers for you. It's what I do for all of my people who are FSBOs that are interested in selling their house themselves, and then let them ask all the questions that they're going to ask. And typically the questions are usually the same questions, which is number one, why would you do that? Because you're not, how do you benefit? So why would you do that? Because you're not going to benefit from it. And then you go into the conversation of, well, here's how I benefit. I will benefit because my lender will put the sign in the yard. They will qualify these buyers, make sure they're able to come into your house, so you don't have some random person who can't afford your house just walking through your home. And then they're going to send that buyer to me as a buyer's agent. And you as a FSBO or for sale by owner is not interested in paying a listing agent, but I know most FSBOs, I'm guessing you're one of these, would be interested if I brought a buyer to you that is qualified to buy your house, right? Yes. Okay, cool. Well, that's how I benefit. And if they don't buy your house, then I can take them to look at other houses. But no matter what, I can get a pre-approved buyer from it. You get somebody who's coming to your house that can actually afford your house and possibly buy it. And so that's the benefit for me. And then it's a mutually beneficial relationship. You don't have to worry about paying me. You don't have to worry about any of this stuff. You have a nice sign in your yard. The lender will send anybody who's not pre-approved away. And then you're only talking to people who can actually afford your home. So that's one way to do it. If you're looking for a conversation to have with FSBOs and expireds.
Bam. What do y'all think about that?
I'll tell you this.
Comment section. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, Jaime. I only did it a few times, and the few times I had a conversation, guess what? I got invited to the house to put a sign in the yard. Right. And I wasn't even focused on list. I was a new construction person. That's what I loved about real estate. And I was just thinking outside the box, presented to my broker. They looked up the rules and emailed the right people. And they're like, yeah, there's nothing against it. You can't put your own sign in the yard because you don't have a contract with the person. But there's nothing, and for the lenders, there's nothing RESPA-wise. There was nothing real estate law-wise that said we couldn't do it. So yeah, it worked, right? And so of course, the amount of calls, they're not going to be as much because you have to wait for people to drive by. But in today's market, it might be worth it because there are people driving all over the place that are looking for houses right now, right? So it'd be quite an interesting scenario to put yourself in 2021.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I have in-laws in McKinney. Okay. Awesome. I feel like someone showing up in person would be better received than another phone call. I know that's right.
Yeah.
So we're here. I'm not getting the feed on this other. Are you getting the new real estate agent feed on?
Yeah. It's quite slow right now. We may be leaving the new real estate agents page at some point, going to a stronger location. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Those are internal, Joseph.
Oh, my bad. Doing? My bad.
Oh, you really are on the edge today.
Yeah,
you are.
Too much coffee this morning. I rolled out of bed really early.
You're gonna get us kicked out. That's funny. All right. Well, something else. I'm gonna get pretty upset. So I'm gonna go ahead and warn you. All right.
Lower your mic volume.
Do that ASMR.
No, man.
I'm not gonna do it. All right. So real estate agents, listen up. If you are tuning in, a 5-star review would go a long way. But outside of that, all right. So one of the biggest things that happens to my camera is it turns off. I am all over the place. Siri thinks I'm talking to it. My camera turns off. And here I am trying to make an important point.
Zoom.
One of the biggest things that we as real estate agents have come to expect, and it is an expectation, is that our referral partners only work one way, meaning we are expected to send deals to our inspector. We're expected to send deals to X, Y, and Z. We're expected to send deals out. Well, why in the heck is that the case? You know, we have a lender, we have a lender partner. That's the closest ones that we get. But we need to work on our referral partners, and not just the inspectors, not just those individuals, not just the people that have, not just the roofers, these are services, these are vendors, these are great referral partners because they touch real estate at different stages. So we need to set that expectation from these individuals right now. So every single one of you should set that expectation. And beyond that, you need to go and headhunt referral partners. Referral partners are people that have access from one to many. This means your probate attorneys. This means your divorce attorneys. These means people that have access to a transaction. This means assisted living facilities. These are places that can refer you business. So we need to really, really, really have that conversation with every single one of them. Every single one of them. And this is something that I've shared with a few of my agents, and I really become a stickler at this point because I think it's this one way just isn't going to cut it anymore. And yeah. I think it's an expectation that we have set, and I think that's a wrong expectation. What can be, I don't know what happened to the audio, dude, but as far as what they need to be saying is, one is they need to have the conversation with the people that is expected, roofers, warranty people, anybody that touches a real estate transaction. This is what I need from you. That alone is going to take you a long way, but I understand that doesn't address the entire question, but that's one. Let's talk about probate attorneys. Probate is different in all states. If you can be the probate person, the probate king, if you will, or queen, if you can be that probate person, you are handling a complex item or a complex transaction, and you're helping the attorney get rid of all the headaches. Like, so, all right, hey, just send it, call Jaime. He's going to take care of everything. So thankfully, I've gotten pretty good. I had gotten pretty good at probate because once I really mucked up the first one, I learned a lot. But now you understand that there's certain pieces of the probate that you get to aid and facilitate that attorney in that effective communication. So when it goes out to market, it needs to have X, Y, and Z. So being that person that they can lean on as support is huge, especially in that industry. So divorce attorneys, just demonstrate your worth and having that effective communication. All the information I'm going to share to you, Susan, I'm going to share to Kyle. Don't even text me individually because I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to be a reason that is going to cause stress on you and on you. So being that person that actually adds value to the conversation, I'm not suggesting that you go out there and beg for this business. Just be clear. And then also provide something to that relationship. You're not there to be a parasite that takes. You're there to contribute. So from that example, from the probate example, I'm going to take a lot of the load off of you. I'm going to be communicating. I know the entire process. I understand that they need to create a bank account individually. Everybody needs to have their name on it. All that stuff, right? So understand that process. And if you don't know it, then ask the attorney. There's nothing wrong with that. That second piece of the divorce thing, that, like I mentioned, it's just being very clear on how you're going to communicate with this complex situation. And there you're actually talking about, if you're that effective and that good at your job, talking about selling a home and helping them buy a home each. So there you're talking about three transactions, which is awesome. And then the assisted facility, just have the white glove service that individuals like this need, because there's a lot of people that are just going to put them out on the street and just throw them into the home, into the assisted living home. So if you can come in and be that person that provides that service, the reason that a lot of people will not do this is because they're not that effective at their job. And I'll leave it at that, right? So it's they're the transaction agents as opposed to an agent that everyone calls themselves a full service agent until they have to do full service. So that is going to be the differentiator. I didn't answer your question as directly as I'd wanted to. I'm kind of rambling now, but first have that conversation. Two, provide something to that relationship that you're trying to break into, because realistically they don't have a reason to send you the transaction outside of convenience. Because you're not going to pay them for it. Unless, I guess, well, technically with an attorney, I think you can, can't you? Because an attorney can technically do a real estate transaction.
Check, check. All right, here we go. So yeah, those are all good points, right? I think that whenever we're talking about these situations, you have to think as an agent, okay, what is somebody going to want that's going to send me referrals? Who are they? What do they currently do? And what's going to make them look good? Or if I can, you know, do something else for them, what's going to benefit their business as well? And so I think those are the things that you have to consider whenever you're thinking about building this referral list of people who are going to send you listings. You can't just think, as Jaime said, oh, it's a transaction, I'm just going to get the deal, right? It's like, how can I make their lives better? How can I make their lives easier?
Yeah, and it's not about, I know that this gets, I've shared this before. It's not all about being that person with the coffee. It's not about that person that comes in with the donuts. Because, you know, these are ways to, not necessarily add value, but to kiss up. And that, you know, that's an element. Sometimes you have to kiss a few butts, I guess. I don't know.
Kiss a few frogs.
Kiss a few frogs. Because again, yeah. Same strategy with your, if you're looking for referral partners, we've talked about this in the past because we are mega fans of new construction. Having that relationship with the new construction person, they're not going to be able to do the people that are in the model home. They typically don't have their real estate license. So they're not going to be able to do anything with that home. On the contrary, it works against them. So they need a qualified agent that will sell that house instantly and understand how the builder works. So they can kind of bring those people in to where it becomes a seamless experience. If they need to stay in the house a little bit longer, then facilitate that transaction in such a manner so the homeowners can stay in that home a little bit longer until the builder, you know, has that grace period to, you know, for delays or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no, I love it. Hey, I want to go back into Jaime as we look at, you know, the listings, right? And getting free listings, if you will. You know, our last podcast, you talked about a strategy to find buyers for free. And that was looking at the MLS, looking at what houses are currently rented, and then, you know, contacting those folks who are renting that house to find out where they are in their possible buying process or where they are in their lease. But we also briefly hit on using that strategy for listings. And so I want to talk about that now as a strategy for agents to utilize. To go out there now and find out how long a house has been leased for. And then, and the reason I'm bringing this up now, besides you bringing it up, because I thought it was a fantastic strategy to find buyers, but as a homeowner that is an investor, I think about myself and the decisions that we, like my wife and I have been sitting on the couch the last 2 days. That sounds like we're couch potatoes, but sitting on the couch when the kids are asleep, talking about our financial plans. And one of the big decisions that we had to make here and literally yesterday, this week, was, are we going to lease our house again, or are we going to go ahead and sell it? Right. So if you use Jaime's strategy, and I'll briefly touch on it again, Jaime, or actually let's let you touch on it. And I'll just kind of make the point really quick. If you use Jaime's strategy to do that, you're going to find people who are thinking like my wife and I are thinking, right. They're thinking, do I really want to have to deal with renters again? Not that we've had bad renters. We had great renters, but I can just cash out right now and make as much as I'm going to make, in the 2 years of owning that house, not including equity, straight cash. So you're going to find people who think like we do using Jaime's strategy. So Jaime, if you want to dive into that strategy a bit more, but flipping it to the seller side.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So as far as identifying homeowners such as Joseph, you're going to go into your MLS, and instead of going to the residential for sale, you're going to go residential for lease. At the leasing part, you're going to go to the leased properties, the ones that have already been leased out. And then you're going to go from 6 months back, well, minimum 6 months ago, all the way back to 3 years. So right now, at the time of this recording, we're in May, right? May. And so what that means is you're looking at properties that have been leased roughly in November, October, November, give or take a couple of months or weeks. And then you're going to go back. And the reason you're going back is because you're identifying the individuals that signed a lease 6 months ago, 7 months ago, 8 months ago, 9 months ago. And the reason you're starting at 6 months is because a lot of people start planning their next moves right around that mark. because a lot of them have to give either a 60-day notice or a 90-day notice, depending on their landlord. The reason you're going all the way back to 3 years is because some people don't renew. Some people renew, so you're not always going to catch new renters. When you identify those properties that have been leased out within that time period, you can reach out to the people that are renting, which are the tenants, directly for that buyer lead. But to Joseph's point, the people that are actually own that property are people like Joseph that you can reach out to that have that same decision to make now, and you don't have to spend a dime. This is how you reverse engineer it, and this is how you find listings. And having conversations with Joseph, people like Joseph that have that decision to make: do I rent it back out, or do I lease it back out, or do I sell it?
Awesome. Yeah, and I don't think there are probably a lot of people that are doing that. If I had to guess, the percentage of real estate agents that are even thinking about that is so slim, right? Because everybody else is thinking like a wholesaler's thinking. Everybody else is thinking about expireds. Everybody else is thinking about FSBOs. How many videos have you seen with this strategy that we're talking about? Probably very few, if not any.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Unless so, I mean, my own content, maybe.
Yeah.
It once.
Exactly. So I think using this strategy to find listings, and again, like people like myself or other investors or people who own multiple properties, and then going and taking a step further, looking at tax records to find out who they are, you are going to find yourself a lot of people that are sitting there with a really hard decision to make in 2021. And it's not because they're in a difficult place. It's because they're probably in a good financial place and they're thinking, man, do I want to live the easy street and just cash out for $100,000 or $50,000 extra dollars or whatever that cash flow becomes? Or do I want to have renters again and have to go through that hassle and sign contracts and look for new renters or, you know, pay my leasing agent or whatever have you? Or do I just want my cash? Right. And that's a really difficult decision for people to make. So if you're the one presenting that decision to them and saying, hey, here's what your net looks like if the house is paid off or whatever the case is, or hey, do you want a net sheet so you can see what you can look at? Here's what you're renting. So it'll take you 10 years or 5 years or 4 years to actually catch up to how much cash you just made, which you can then just put into another property if you really want to. Right. So now you can say like, hey, you're almost making, a third or two thirds of what that house costs, and you can go buy another property right now. Right. So, and walk away with some cash. So anyway, I think it's a fantastic strategy to look at, and putting that decision on other people who may be on the fence, just having the conversation, but you put numbers in front of them and you become, again, that authority figure, because now you're saying, here are the numbers that you really need to think about. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Joseph, it is that time for the dismount. I'll go first if you don't mind. So as we're parting, just remember, a 5-star review is going to go a long way. Really do appreciate you coming and hanging out with us live. We do these on Thursdays, so really thank you so much. And then we publish the podcast on a Friday. So really appreciate 5-star review if you are on Apple Podcasts. Now, for my parting thought, as far as what we've talked about, we started the podcast saying that this was simple, but it's not easy, if you will, or else there'd be an abundance of listings at this point. If it was so easy, everyone would have those and it'd be a different scenario. Now, with that being said, whatever strategy you decide to take a hold of today, just show up and show up often. Maybe I should have said consistent. So these dismounts don't always work out great, Joseph.
But early enough.
What I'm trying to do is be as consistent as you can be, because at the end of the day, you know, digging over here, it's not going to be a very good, effective strategy, effective use of your time. You're going to be frustrated because you've been digging all day, but you still haven't found water, oil, or whatever it is that you're digging for. Yeah. So whatever strategy you go with, stick with it long enough to see it fail or to see it succeed. And you're going to find out. There's no indicators there. You're just going to find out. It's been 6 months, I haven't seen a dime. I haven't seen anything. Or it's been 6 months, wow, my business has grown dramatically.
No, that's great. I mean, I would say it's a very similar thing. Give it 90 days. Whatever strategy you're doing, don't give it 2 days or 3 days or a month. 30 days is not enough to really find out if something's going to work. consistently for you. Consistency comes from actually doing something consistently, right? So it's like, hey, I want to consistently be successful. Well, you got to consistently try this thing for a long time, or at least 90 days. That's what we typically see before ads start coming in, before our calls start taking strong effect. And a lot of agents aren't willing to wait that long. And so that's, you know, that's a contributing factor to a lot of the failure rate. So I would say this, if you are going to use some of these strategies, yes, some of you will probably pop a deal within a week or within this month. But those of you who stick with it for a long time, after 90 days, you're just gonna be like, it becomes a habit. You're like, okay, we're calling these people. We're looking for these people who have houses for lease. We're looking for these vacant properties. And like, it's just, it becomes a snowball. And all of a sudden you're like, damn, I'm sitting here with 20 listings. Like, how did that even happen? It's because you stay consistent, right? And those of you who don't,
yep,
you're consistently looking for other things to do. And so which one do you want to be consistent at?
Ba-ba-bam. Folks, this was fun. This is one of those fun ones that we really enjoy talking, because these are the more complex conversations that you're not going to hear anywhere else. This is that raw, unfiltered, authentic stuff that, again, you're just not hearing everywhere else. Everyone's going to pitch you on buy this, buy that, buy this, buy that. All right, go do it. I mean, sure, go do it. Go do it. If you saw no value here, then you're crazy. Outside of that, hey, it's been fun. If just remember, if you're on Apple Podcasts, 5-star review would go a long way. And that's been episode 36, how to get free listings in this market. See you next week.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Agent Lead Source Podcast with Joseph and Jaime. Don't forget to subscribe and give a 5-star review, along with sharing this amazing podcast with any agent you feel could benefit from it. We look forward to seeing you on the next one.